Hey, Scott Smith here, Evangelism Ministries, Georgia Baptist Mission Board. I want to share with you a recorded conversation that I recently had with a church that is a perfect case study for the Big Invite campaign. As you know, the Big Invite campaign is going to be absolutely incredible for helping you have more than ever for Easter. And I want to get you excited a little bit, to be quite frank, about having more guests than ever for Easter. And I believe that this conversation will do just the trick. I was on the phone with the staff of Peavine Baptist Church. We'll tell you more about that church in the video, but the pastor is Joel Sutherland. You say, is that the same Joel Sutherland who is the National Evangelism Director for the North American Mission Board? Yes, it is. He was the interim at the church during the period of Easter last year, and he's now the pastor of that church while he retains the role at North American Mission Board. And Daniel Curry, their executive pastor, was on the call as well. I want you to pay careful attention, because as we talk through this conversation, we talk about several things, such as their paradigm for the idea of having a marketing plan. Is marketing a bad word? How should the church be viewing and utilizing marketing in their outreach plan? We also talked about the reason that they use something different every week in terms of putting a different tool in the people's hands to mobilize them to invite their friends and family for Easter and neighbors and all that. Also, we talked about the specific strategies. Don't worry about taking notes during that part, because we've got the entire blueprint on the Big Invite site, where we walk you through an even improved plan step by step, week by week. But they do talk about their strategies that they use. And one of the great bonuses of this conversation was exactly how Joel and the staff handled the invitations and filling out the connection cards and doing follow-up. So they really give us some real nuggets and meat in this short video. There's also an audio version available for you to download as well if you'd rather listen to the MP3. But it's all here. So let's go to the conversation that I had with Joel Sutherland and Daniel Curry as we talk about how Peavine had 400 more visitors year over year at their Easter that they promoted from the previous year. You'll hear it in this conversation. Let's go there now.
All right. Scott Smith here, Evangelism Ministries, Georgia Baptist Mission Board. I am here with Joel Sutherland and Daniel Curry. Joel is actually, most of you guys know that Joel is at North American Mission Board. He's got a unique situation in that he's also now pastoring Peavine Baptist Church. And what, give the town again.
Rock Springs, Georgia.
Rock Springs.
Kind of a suburb of the Chattanooga area.
Yeah, I always say Rocky Spring, and I don't know why. But anyway, Rock Spring. So we're also on the line with Daniel Curry, who's executive pastor. And I've had the opportunity to preach Peavine twice. Great church. Obviously, you show up on our top baptizing list every year. But the reason we're on this call today is last year at Easter, you took a very similar approach to promoting Easter services as what we are teaching at thebiginvite.org for all of our Georgia Baptist churches to do and implement, so that they can see record numbers at Easter. Our goal is to invite 1 million families, 1 million households across Georgia this year. And we gathered our plan not only from just what's best practices, but from guys like you and different ones across the nation around just what works. And obviously it worked for you guys. So Joel, give us an idea of what your thoughts were going into Easter and what your paradigm is anyway about Easter.
Yeah, so you know, Easter still, if every Sunday, there's no throwaway Sunday for churches, but Easter, if every Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday, it's that on steroids, you know, on Easter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were talking recently, Easter's losing a little bit because it's one of the number one visited weekends at Disney World is Easter now, because of school breaks and all that. And Christmas Eve is almost catching up with it. But as far as for the majority of churches around the nation, Easter is still their premier Sunday of the year. And it's their premier Sunday in that two things happen. One, everybody comes home. So, you know, if a church averages, say, 500 a Sunday, they probably have 750 unique attenders that come, but they just rotate shifts, you know, in coming. And then, so everybody comes on Easter, basically. So you get that all boost. And then also, we still have programmed into the DNA of our Americanized church cross-denominationally that you should go to church at Easter and Christmas. And so we have to take advantage of that. So you've got, you know, everybody comes home, and then you have, well, we need to find a place to go to church on Easter. And so a church just has to leverage that for the gospel, for evangelism, for all sorts of reasons. Easter is, at least in the spring, the most important Sunday on the calendar year.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of people need to, I guess the thing we need to view this as, and this is kind of what's behind the Big Invite, is this is an evangelistic event.
It should be.
But there's kind of a trade-off, because we're also kind of taking for granted the crowd. That's, in other words, there is a like you just said, there's a natural, you know, influx of people that come to church that don't normally come to church. But when we apply some best practices around outreach and local visibility about our Sunday Easter event, it can be that much more. If it's like throwing kerosene on a fire. Daniel, your background is actually not ministry. You actually come from, I believe, a real estate background.
I have a background in real estate, business management, and actually performing arts. So all those things, yeah, combine to really try to think about how we market and reach out. And it's sometimes different than how we think about it traditionally in churches, because we tend to over spiritualize how we do things and realize there are just direct ways to reach people. Some of the same things apply across the board. Doesn't make that it doesn't water down anything that we're doing in terms of the truth of it, but hey, people are reached the way people are reached sometimes in terms of how you get their attention.
Before we get into some of what you did and some of the differences in the numbers, because obviously this is a case study, we want to talk about results. What would you say to a pastor, Daniel, with your background being, a secular background, for lack of a better word, moving into ministry? What would you say to a pastor about the concept of marketing in church? Is that unspiritual? How should we view marketing from a ministry standpoint and getting lost people to church?
Well, I like the quote, and I've heard it attributed to Adrian Rogers. I assume that it is. Sometimes different attributions get scooted around, but you can't administrate the spiritual things of a church, but at the same time, you can't spiritualize the administrative things of a church. And to me, practical marketing, you can look at it from an administrative point. Now, the end result, the goal, is obviously the souls that we reach, you know, the impact of the gospel that we're able to hit our community with. But the reality is you can use practical tools. So if you look at someone coming from a business background, they look at the way that they can get the most visibility, the way that they can differentiate themselves, and the way that they can sell sort of that old concept, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So you need to be having something that feels like a viable offering to where they're at in their life. And sometimes that takes using great tried and true marketing practices about how to put yourself out there, how to connect with people. And the reality is visibility has changed. If you even look into the real estate industry, just putting your picture on a park bench no longer gets people to sell homes. It's word of mouth and personal communication. The best real estate agents work by referral. And referral happens in this day and age primarily through social media. People trust the reviews of their peers far more than they do things that they feel like are overly produced, or that they feel like are coming from official channels. And if they think that a friend's recommending it, and that's why you see so many recommendation sites. That's why people look at Yelp to figure out whether or not they're going to eat at a certain restaurant, or they look at Facebook or Google reviews before they figure out if they're going to go to a place. We trust what our friends say, even though rarely are they experts. It's still just the way that we're kind of wired right now in our culture. And so the more that we can do to increase word of mouth, seem like that there's a buzz happening about things, then people get excited about that, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And we saw that even with your campaign, even in social media. It's one thing for the church to post the video or the image, but it's another thing when a church member shares that to their network. The power of the shared post, that's the same thing. It's that post, yep, on your page, is a lot more powerful when the church member shares it as to when you just put it up there on your page. And so let's get into this. give us, just kind of take us into the meat of it. Joel, if you want to jump in, just what are some of the things you guys did? And let's talk about what the dynamic was in terms of not only creating the plan, but getting your people mobilized in the plan.
Yeah. So we started promoting Easter at the end of January, last year. And so we sat down with the staff and we said, what can we put in front of people that will remind them every week to be inviting people to our Easter services? Like, so if people are going to be looking for a place to go to church on Easter, so how can we help facilitate that ask? And so I'll run down a list of things, and these are in, I don't think these are in particular order, and Daniel, correct me on anything if I'm wrong, but so we assembled all of these pieces, and we said to ourselves, we can give these out all on one Sunday, or we can give one out every Sunday for 10 weeks, and it becomes a weekly reminder. So we started off with a prayer card. Mm-hmm. Hey, here are five people that you're praying that will come to church on Easter Sunday. So we put those out, and we walked people through filling those out. We did that for a couple of weeks, and mentioned them for a couple of weeks, and we referenced that card later on. And then we just had all kinds of pieces made that we would distribute. Now, by no means is this any particular order, and I don't know that there was necessarily a rhyme or reason to the order until the end, but we had a yard signs made, and we'd give those out one week and say, we got a stack of yard signs up here, stick one in your yard. We had window decals made where people could put a clear plastic cling on their window that was an invitation to Easter. And the staff had an idea they did that was incredible. It was incredibly creative, and I wish I'd thought of it, but I didn't. They went around town, and if they caught you with the window decal, they gave you a gift, took a picture, and put it on the Facebook page. That kind of thing, which that became kind of viral / entertaining in and of itself. Just
oh, that's fun.
Church.
What kind of gift did you give?
It was just a gift bag. I think it had a gift card I think it was to Chick-fil-A actually. Yeah. But just a gift card and
of course it was Chick-fil-A.
Well, yeah, we are a church. I mean, and just another invite card that they would have to give to somebody. In fact, one of the funniest posts that we got the most mileage out of was when we found a church member at a restaurant that didn't have one, and we created a meme and said, "Hey, if Chaz had a window sticker today, he would have gotten a prize. Chaz didn't get a prize. Don't be like Chaz." Got more shares and more views than any of the others that we did. It turned into something that our people
That was awesome.
They got a kick out of.
So we also created invite cards. He just mentioned those. I think we did two different sizes that people could hand out and use it, leave as a tip card or just hand out as an invitation card. We also created a landing page for Easter on our website. So it's pvine.org/Easter. I shot a 2 to 3 minute video of just 2 minute video of me inviting a guest to come to Pvine at Easter.
Right.
And telling them where to park and what to do once they got on the property. And man, that video, we shared that on Facebook. That thing went crazy. We're talking about over 100,000 views or something. Daniel.
Yeah. It hit 124, I think, 124,000, which, again, for our demo, our location, just phenomenal reach.
And oh, yeah, absolutely.
Thousands of people who watched it more than 50% of the way through. It was phenomenal.
Was that a staged video that you just got an actor or somebody, or were you legitimate?
I did it in front of a green screen.
Oh, okay.
It was just a monologue from me.
Just a direct invite.
A monologue. Okay.
Yeah, it's a monologue from me. It wasn't anything great. But we put that on the splash page, and then we shared it on. And so when you went to pvine.org/Easter, everything you need to know about Easter was right there, because we add a service on Sunday morning. There's no small groups meeting on Sunday morning. So everything you need is right there. It's a one-stop glance at it. So 1 week, we told them about that splash page and told them to share that. We created, towards the end, we wrote sample emails for them to send to their friends, inviting their friends via email.
Yep.
We ask them to do it through email or Facebook Messenger, private. Mm-hmm. We wrote sample social media posts for them to share. The very last week, I had everybody pull out their phones in church and text people that they wanted to come with them on Easter.
Yep.
And we did
those. A lot of the things are in our plan.
We did all that right before Easter.
Yep.
Daniel, am I leaving anything out?
No. I mean, every week leading up to that, you know, you had people pull out their phones and check into P-Vine when they got into the service on Facebook just to generate more of their friends saying, man, I hear you talking about P-Vine all the time. What's happening at P-Vine? On that landing page, which was as simple as pvine.org/Easter, we had the invite video, we had a countdown clock. We even put really easy to understand campus maps, just so they could go from Joel's explanation of where to park and where to come and see it right in a picture underneath. Just all the practical things they needed to walk onto campus for the first time and know right where to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and one of the things, and this is where I got involved a little bit personally, is you guys reached out to me. We did some Facebook ads together. So video was big. You did a personal video of, you know, Joel's face, you know, inviting everybody, really well done. Does not have to be a professional video. Again, I'm reminding pastors that if you need to do it with your phone, just get something out there. But we did use the Facebook targeting. Of course, in the biginvite.org, we have a complete tutorial on how to create ads and how to boost them and how to target and all that. So that's all in the system. But that played a big role as well. And you already told us about one video that got over 100 some thousand views. And I think that was not boosted, or did you boost that post?
No, that was organic. No,
that was organic.
It went viral. But then do you recall any numbers on, you know, the video itself? I know one of the interesting things you said to me, I don't know if we should even say this, but you actually started your video campaign. We boosted that to an area around the church, and then you saw some other churches all of a sudden start making their video.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was comical that our video had been up and running for a week to 10 days or 2 weeks, and now all of a sudden a lot of churches in the area start doing Facebook videos, which, hey, is great. The area is big enough by doing it.
Yeah.
But it was funny to see that happen.
Yeah.
I started noticing the reach. I mean, when I would go to my timeline on Facebook, it was just everywhere. People sharing it, and I mean, it was phenomenal.
Which is another component. You know, when you pay to get this stuff out there, you'll get some what we call trollers. You'll get some people that say, I hate church, and I'd never go there. That's part of it. But you'll get a lot of people sharing that, and that's free advertising. When they take a paid video or a paid ad, paid even to social share that just got boosted, you've paid for that to get more visibility, but it gets even more for free when they go and share that again. That's powerful. Okay, let's talk results. You know, once you got down, you know, year over year, the previous year they had a full-time pastor. He resigned. Joel, you were interim there before you were voted in recently. You were interim at the time last year, Easter. So let's talk difference in numbers and increase. What do you normally have on Sundays? What's the difference? Talk
about. Okay, so I think last year, 2015, we averaged about 850 in worship and had over 1,000 one time, and it was Easter 2015. Now, let me say this whole sentence. They had logged 1,700 for Easter the year before. However, they had counted the choir all three times in all three services, which is standard practice for most churches. It's just too hard to differentiate. But some people got counted three times. Probably about 50 people got counted three times. Daniel, correct me if I'm wrong. We think we're probably between 1,500 and 1,600 in actuality on Easter 2015. Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. So our goal we started touting was we wanted over 2,000 on Easter. And so keep in mind, church is only running 850 in 2015, had over 1,000 one time on Easter. So we did all this work. We let the church kind of know what our goal was. And on Easter Sunday, we had 2,157 people. And that was all counted one time. Nobody was counted twice, including me, Daniel, or anybody else that was at all three services. Now, let me transition it just a little bit, Scott. It worked out attendance-wise. But the most important aspect of Easter is the evangelism aspect of it. And so we had sat down as a staff and we had said, we want to make it easy for people to come to Christ on Easter Sunday. So here's some things we just know. Like every pastor listening to this who has a big Easter is going to know what I'm going to say. It's almost impossible to walk down an aisle on Easter Sunday morning. There's all kinds of reasons why. Number one, you're around strangers. If you're lost, you're unchurched, you don't know any of these people. If you're in a church service that has 1,000 people in it, I mean, you're very nervous. You don't know anything about church.
Yeah.
There are no empty seats. So if you're sitting in the middle of a long pew or series of chairs, you literally would have to say, excuse me, to 10 to 12 people to get out, to walk down an aisle. Right? You're all dressed up in clothes you're uncomfortable in. There's just all kinds of reasons for you to say. And so here's the deal. I'm going to acknowledge that, embrace it, and work with it. Like, I'm not going to demand you be saved on my terms. Right? I want you to come to Christ. So we decided that day that the best way to give an invitation was for me to give a come forward invitation coupled with a pray a prayer. If you'd like to trust Christ, pray a prayer with me. And we have provided, we register everybody in the building every Sunday. So everybody in the building has a connection card every Sunday. And one of the responses on there is, I prayed to receive Christ as my Savior today. So at the end of the come forward invitation, all three services, I led them in a sinner's prayer. And by the way, most pastors, and me too, tend to overthink Easter. And so I preached a simple gospel message. I mean, literally, I'm just telling people how to be saved on Easter Sunday. And we had 23 people saved on Easter, combination of, we'll give an invitation. There's staff members at the door. See a staff member on the way out if you'd like to be saved. I want to make it as easy for you as I can to trust Christ, and we'll follow up with you after this service, which is what we do. We follow up every single person that gets saved, no matter how they do it. We had 2,157, all-time church record, never had more than 2,000. That was probably 600-700 more than the highest number before. And then we had 23 people come to faith in Christ on that Sunday as well.
Wow, fantastic, fantastic. Well, and just to honor the time here, we want to keep this succinct. What a great case study, you know. And I think we can only imagine and even grieve the thought of what would have happened if you had not been very proactive in getting the message out. There's a lot of noise in the culture. You've got to be interruptive a little bit. You've got to break into their sphere of awareness. Invite cards are great. The direct mail postcards are fantastic. Love the bumper sticker and window cling idea. Obviously our cars get in front of a lot of people just in traffic. And then of course, you know, social media, not leaving that is not an optional component, I think, anymore, especially if we're going to mobilize our people. You know, invite cards mobilize, social media mobilizes our people. So that's a huge thing. And then thanks for the insights also about how you handled the invitation, what you did in the services around that. And those are things we need to keep in mind. Why a come forward invitation may be difficult in probably the majority of our churches. So Joel, on Easter, you would definitely recommend, maybe if it's not your norm, to have everybody do a connection card. Oh. Maybe on Easter, make the exception. Just have everybody do it. Give us a little insight into why that could be.
Yeah. Okay. So Easter is valuable for all kinds of reasons we've mentioned, but it's also valuable in, you'll get a bump off Easter that could last you all year. So here's what happened to us. In 2015, they'd only had over 1,000 one time, and that was on Easter. In 16, we had 2,000 on Easter, and we wound up averaging over 1,000 for 2016. So we had nearly 20% growth that I think a lot of us would contribute that to the enormous bump we got off Easter. And I'll say this, Scott, because I want to make sure pastors understand this. We did not have a great Easter because of what me or the staff did. The church got behind that. They were customer evangelists, as the book says, so to speak. All we did was we said, let's supply tools that they can use in their day-to-day world to invite people to Easter. And that's all we did. We supplied tools. The church, and I think Daniel would agree with this, the church really made the difference in that. And so they're the ones that carried it forward. They're the ones that made the difference. And but if you register everybody on Easter, your attendance may go up 50%. Those are names you can follow up with for all sorts of reasons. Salvation, rededication, guests coming to your church for the first time.
Yep.
You've got to know who's in your building on Easter Sunday.
Yeah, such a good word. Such a good word and a great note to end on. So thanks for that insight, guys. And we appreciate your leadership and your willingness to share and help other Georgia Baptists, you know, do what they can do and see greater results this Easter than they've ever seen before. So thanks a lot.